Today on The Dwelling Place, the importance of discipline.
Thank God my parents whooped my behind because it kept me out of a whole lot of trouble. God strikes us not to destroy us. How many people have believed that lie? God strikes his people to destroy them. God tears us to humiliate us. No, but that we might come back to him. That's why he disciplines his people.
Dwelling Place.
Welcome to this edition of The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. Al is the senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center where our broadcast originates. If you enjoy building things, you know that following a set of instructions in the correct order is essential to success. If you perform step B before step A, you're likely to mess things up. Well, our relationship with God is much like an instruction sheet. There are certain steps we must take to not only establish that relationship, but also to maintain it. Our scripture text is Psalm 77. Here's Pastor Al.
Psalm 77. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a Levite of the priesthood for the temple in the Old Testament, Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. This particular psalm, Psalm 77, is a lamentation. It's a lament over Israel's condition and the apparent desertion by God. And we'll see that in verses 1 to 9. And then that's the first part of the psalm. In the second part, verses 10 to 20, it concludes this chapter. The chapter concludes in hope based upon God's past mercies. And we'll see that in verses 10 to 20. So it's not a real long psalm. But we're just going to be in Psalm 77 tonight because I like to milk the Word of God and like to comment on it a lot. But this is great. I don't know how long we've been in the Psalms. For about 7 months or so? Well, maybe we'll be in a whole year, but no one's in a hurry, are they? Amen. Okay, good. And this psalm also answers the question or questions concerning regarding the long-suffering of God. Does God ever run out of patience with us? And just how can we be assured that his patience will never end? Have you ever wondered about that? I'm sure a lot of believers probably have. I know I have. How long will God's patience last? Well, he addresses that within this psalm. And so we look at verses 1 to 6, where he says, I cried out to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. Interesting. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. A pause. He reflects on those words. You hold my eyelids open. Verse 4, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Anybody relate to the psalmist so far? Have you ever related to this? I mean, any time in your life, amen? These verses reflect a desperate heart. His prayers are no longer silent and dignified. They are vocal and animated. I cried out to God with my voice. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. Here he is crying out to the Lord. Religious platitudes are not enough. He is beseeching the face of God, and like Moses in Exodus 33, verse 18, who prayed, please show me your glory. We just sang the song, Lord, show me your face. And Moses said, Lord, please show me your glory. Only God's glory, only God's face can address the psalmist's needs. And there are times in our lives when it's That is so true that, Lord, nothing else can really satisfy us. What I need to hear from is from you. I know the pastor is speaking, Lord, but I need a word from God. I need to hear what God is saying to my spirit. I need to see your glory. I need to see your face. God's presence is requested, and not the power and the wisdom of men. The story goes that one time when Bill Moyers was a special assistant to President Lyndon B. Johnson, he was asked to say grace before a meal in the family quarters of the White House. As Moyers began praying softly, the president interrupted him with, "Speak up, Bill, speak up. Speak up, Bill, speak up." He probably said it like that, I don't know. Lyndon Baines Johnson. The former Baptist minister from East Texas stopped in mid-sentence and without looking up, replied steadily, "I wasn't addressing you, Mr. President." Amen. Sometimes I don't need an executive order. Sometimes I need the order of the Lord. Sometimes it's not, I don't need to hear what the politicians are saying or what the power and wisdom of men have to say about my situation. I need to see the face of God. I need the Lord. And so the psalmist is crying out here. That very thing he's saying, you know, Lord, I'm not silent and indignant. I don't have this inner silent little thing going on, this little personal thing. Lord, I'm vocal and I'm animated. Lord, show me your face. I need God at this very moment. And there are those times in our lives when desperation takes over, times when we need the Lord to make a personal appearance by the presence and power of his Holy Spirit. We need to experience his power and his help and his aid in time of need. But notice, the desperation is not over the mere need for deliverance from life circumstances. We all run into those times when things happen and unexpectedly and we're crying out and asking for God's deliverance. And God does hear and he does answer his people in times like that. But the deliverance that he's asking for here, he says he's also looking, he's also desperate rather, desperately needing to know that God has not abandoned him, and more specifically, abandoned the people of Israel at this particular time. In verse 3, he says, "I remembered God. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." The tenses, Hebrew tenses in the Hebrew language used here, are present rather than past when he says, "I remembered God," in the present. Thus, his thoughts of God are in relationship to the current discipline God has brought to bear upon the people of Israel. The calamity which enveloped them was of Israel's own making. So much so that when the psalmist remembered God in relationship to his knowledge of why they were in the present dilemma that they were in, he was troubled. He wondered if God justifiably had finally cast off his people forever. In light of his present or their present actions, he wondered, he was troubled in his heart rather, as he remembered God, because he knew that God justifiably could cut them off. So the Bible says he was troubled. An interesting place to be in one's life. Have you ever found yourself wondering the same? As you remember God, sometimes we're embarrassed because God is so good and we're not. And we reflect upon how good he is, and we find it hard within ourselves to approach him because of our own shame. And in light of the present situation and maybe even suffering the discipline of the Lord, we find it difficult to approach the Lord. And so we're filled with condemnation and maybe even fear. Not a fear that draws you to God, but a fear that draws you away from God. We want to go to God, but we also know that it is God's discipline that we are under. It's kind of like facing the victim of our own crime. So Sometimes see those shows on television where the person has murdered someone's son or daughter, and the mother or the parents or the father would go and confront that person in prison. And the tension that's in the room. And sometimes it's after the person has been serving time for 10 years, they finally got enough courage to go and look in the eyes of the one who has wounded them so greatly. And how the prisoner, the guilty one, is hard for them to want to go and sit in that room. What can they now say? They're fearful. They're guilty. And all they can ask for is forgiveness. This is a feeling that I think that the psalmist is speaking about here. And he says, when I thought of God, I was troubled. I've got to go look in the face of my God who's been so good to me, and all I've done is repay him with unfaithfulness. That's a tough place to be. That's why a lot of people, rather than face that, I mean, and I really believe maybe in some cases people do not come back to the church because God has been so good. How can I ever face God again? When in reality, he's everywhere we are, you know. But in their minds, to come to church and to hear the pastor talking about God and hear people singing the songs, they can't bear the thought, and they're troubled to be in the assembly of God's people, the righteous, when they've been so wrong. Coming back, if you will, to the scene of the crime, maybe, where they've been so unfaithful to God.
Does that describe you today? Pastor Al will have some encouraging words for you in just a few moments. Here at the midway point in today's broadcast, I'd like to let you know that if you're a little fearful about the present and the future, we would count it a real blessing to be able to pray for you. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And we'd also appreciate your prayers for this radio ministry. In these times, there's never been a time when sound biblical teaching has been more needed. Thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers. We have reopened our doors for services on a limited basis, and you can get the latest details at cwccs.org. Blaming ourselves and developing a bad attitude about life is pretty commonplace. With the second half of today's message in Psalm 77, here's Pastor Al.
In such times, many believers seek to punish themselves beyond the reasonable measure God prescribes, because God does discipline his children. Amen. Anybody been spanked by God? Hallelujah. God disciplines those that he loves. And he does discipline us. But sometimes, you know, after his discipline, we hang on to the condemnation and the guilt. We find ourselves years later still beating ourselves up over something God has long since forgiven and forgotten. And you know what? I really do believe. I'm saying this, and I have to remind myself. It's hard to get our minds around this statement I'm going to make, but I believe it's true. According to God's word, that to do so, to have that kind of attitude, to not believe that God has forgiven you and forgotten your sin, is a greater sin than the sin you committed. You know that? You're actually compounding sin on sin. You sin, you need forgiveness, but then you won't believe God will forgive you. You're compounding your sin now. You're adding sin to sin. You say, well, you know, why do you say that? Well, you know, there's other scriptures we could go to, but 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Isn't that what your Bible says, 1 John 1:9? Thus, to not believe, let's kind of reverse that scripture and look at it again, to not believe this is to continue to punish and condemn ourselves, you know, long after God has forgiven us. In essence, what we are saying when we don't believe that God is able to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess our sin, in essence, what we are saying is that God is not faithful, but he is unjust because he has not cleansed us from all unrighteousness after we have confessed our sin. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If we don't believe that, then we're saying God is not faithful, nor is he just. He is unjust. That's really what you're saying. I never said that to God. Do you believe God's forgiven you? And if you don't, and you struggle with that, then you're basically saying to God that he's not faithful and he's unjust. Because he said he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from not some, but all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad God cleanses you from all unrighteousness? Aren't you glad God didn't say, well, I'll tell you what to do. You know, makes a deal with you. You come back here tomorrow, and if you're still reading your Bible, we'll think about it, you know. You come back next week, I'll tell you what, you come back in about 10 years. That's not what he says. He says, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you'll confess your sin, I will cleanse you. Or else we call God a liar. If we sit around, run from the church, hide from people, remain in our sin, will not believe that God has forgiven us, we're basically calling God a liar because he said he would forgive you, and we're saying, no, he hasn't. This is something that is highly unpleasing to God. Why is it so unpleasing to God? Well, one thing, we're calling him a liar, but the other thing is that it's recorded for us according to Romans chapter 8:32 that the Bible says that God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God did not hold back his son Jesus, then why will he not forgive you for your sin? Why will he not freely give to us all things, whatever we need, if it's forgiveness or whatever need we might have? The cross is the ultimate price given that we might be forgiven. We'll talk about it more on Friday, this Good Friday coming up. But it's the ultimate price that has been given to us that we might be forgiven and continually cleansed by the blood of Christ. And that's why John went on to write, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. He is our advocate. So therefore, if we have sinned against God, we need not be troubled in the presence of God, but to come to God and to confess our sin to him. To not believe so results in sleepless nights and a troubled spirit. Verse 4 says, you hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. In other words, he wasn't getting much sleep, the psalmist says. I was troubled. I cannot speak. He says, I have considered the days of old and the years of ancient times. We lay awake at night recalling the past, all the wouldas and couldas and shouldas, amen, that never happened, things that never happened. And so he's laying there. He says, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. And then he says, I call to remembrance, verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search, meditating, thinking about the past and all that. The psalmist recalls a better time when he used to sing songs before the Lord. He searches the hard drive of his spirit, so to speak, for some sense of relief. But again and again, he finds himself unable to rid his mind of the virus which condemns his very conscience. He finds no relief in the night. This is the anguish of those who fail to rely upon the faithfulness of God to forgive them. God uses the guilt and shame of sin not to condemn his children, but in order to restore and to heal his children. It's the goodness of God, and the Bible says, that leads us to repentance. And of course, Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. You know, your parents would give you a spanking for your own good. Amen. Then you get down the road years later and you thank your folks for those beatings that they gave you. We used to call them beatings. I guess it's called abuse today, but it was, but we got beatings. And now you look back and say, thank God my parents whooped my behind because it kept me out of a whole lot of trouble. And so we thank God. And so we, you know, and they were spanking us not to kill us. Felt like they was trying to kill us, but they were spanking us that we might be healed, that we might go in the right path. And so when God disciplines us, it's not to destroy us. It's to heal us. It's to help us. Of course, the old famous saying, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, which is very debatable when your parents would tell you that, you know. And found that hard to believe when mom was breaking that switch on my behind. Amen. But I'm sure it hurt her to do it, but she found the ability somewhere to, you know. My mom's here tonight. She'll get me later. Amen. To spank me, and I needed it. Amen. Thank God. But God strikes us not to destroy us. How many people have believed that lie? God strikes his people to destroy them. God tears us to humiliate us. No. But that we might come back to him. That's why he disciplines his people. And so the psalmist is trying to reflect on some better times, better days where things were the way they should be. He lies on his bed and reflects upon the days of old, the years of ancient times, times when he used to sing to the Lord. And, you know, we all do that sometimes. We get into our melancholy kind of moments and start reflecting on the past. Oh, you know. So he wonders out loud after, and this is an answer to the time that he's reflecting on these things. He begins to wonder out loud after he goes back, and you know, you search your mind, you're trying to find the good times in the past and all this, and times I know that God has spoken to me about going into ministry, and then ministry gets hard, and then you go, man, did I really hear God, or was it that bagel I was eating, or the coffee I was drinking, or were people influenced? What was I doing to follow the Lord? Did God really speak to me, you know? And you wonder about those times. You look back in the past and you try to search for some type of evidence or something back there to give you more understanding today. And the reality is that, you know, we can search, waste a lot of time playing that game, you know, going back to the past and trying to live back there, trying to find some solace, some peace back there. And after this search of the hard drive, if you will, of his spirit, after laying up all night and searching the past and all these things, he really didn't find an answer. And in verse 7 and 8 and 9, he began to ask these questions that if we're all honest, we have all asked one or all three of these at some point in our lives. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever?
You are listening to Pastor Al Pittman on The Dwelling Place, and we thank you sincerely for tuning in today. Pastor Al's messages from his series in the Psalms are available at our website, cwccs.org. You can listen, watch, or download with a simple click, and there are many messages and series to choose from. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. Would you take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station? That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also mention in closing that The Dwelling Place is listener-supported. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to support The Dwelling Place with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center, either at our Creekside or Westside campus. We have reopened our doors for services on a limited basis, and you can get the latest details at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study in Psalms. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.